We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. If you are our guest this morning, I mentioned a moment ago that we have been walking through the attributes of a growing Christian, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. This morning, we're going to be looking at one that we probably all need a little bit of a dose of, that of long-suffering and or patience. Whatever translation you may use there, you can probably understand that both of us, each and every one of us, need long-suffering and patience. So far, we have discussed a few of these attributes. We've looked at joy. We've looked at love, and we have looked at peace. The love that I speak of, or I have spoken of, or the Scripture speaks of in the book of Galatians, is to experience the love of Jesus Christ, the agape love, the love that He loves you so much that He died for you on the cross, and it allows you to possess this love, to love those around you, to love those who have persecuted you, to love those who are ridiculing you, to love those who maybe have done you wrong, or things that maybe they are saying that is right or not right. Whatever it may be, we have experienced those things, and it allows us to love those around us because we have first loved Jesus Christ. Once you experience this love, you experience what we call joy. The fullness of joy is what we looked at a couple of weeks ago. That the joy of Jesus Christ is not based on circumstances or situations, but based on what God has done for you and God is continuing to do for you. And when you possess this joy, we know that even in the midst of this, the tough times, in the midst of the heartaches, you then have the peace of God. The peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4, chapter 7, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This morning, as we have looked at love, we looked at joy, we looked at peace, we'll be looking at the patience or long of suffering. And each and every one of us need this. We need a little more of that. And if you don't think so, you can look at your spouse. You can look at your significant other. You can look at your children. You can look at your co-workers and know that you need a little more of this patience or long of suffering. The definition of long suffering is simply having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. Long suffering is having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially those that are caused by other people. By looking at this definition, each and every one of us know that we need to possess this attribute. The word long suffering is composed of two words in the original text. In the Greek language, when you study in Galatians, the first word is the idea of long or distance or far off. It's something you're longing for. It's something in the distance. It's allowing yourself to know that it's there, but you may have to reach a little bit further to get it. The word that we see there is a macro. The other word that is made up of this word is a tamaya, which is simply a temper, passion, or emotion. So when you look at long suffering, I don't normally give you the original text there, but the definition that we see of the two words that compose long suffering is allowing us to have a long distance temper or a long distance passion. When you put these two words together, we see what the Bible speaks of in the book of Galatians to be that of long suffering or patience. We know the difference between long tempered and short tempered is just simply the length of the fuse. And if you're like me, your fuse isn't very long. If you're like some people in the church, they have a long fuse. But regardless of the length of your fuse this morning, I want you to know that you can possess long suffering and you can possess the patience that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at the introduction. We've looked at what we've talked about thus far. Let's look at what the Scripture says this morning as we begin. Looking in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36. "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." The writer of Hebrews is telling us that we need to understand and to possess long suffering or patience when waiting on a promise of God. That we need to remain faithful. We must remember the who of the promise, and the who of the promise is always that of Jesus Christ. It is always that of God, which allows us to understand that God's timing is more important than time itself. God's timing is more important than time itself. We think about time. We think that maybe it's dragging along if you can't sleep in the middle of the night. You think about time and the way that maybe the world is going with politics, whether left or right. But at the end of the day, we must know that God's timing is all that matters. That God is the faithful, and that we are waiting on the fulfillment of the promise or the prayer that God is going to see you through during this time. But like many of you and myself, we want instant coffee. We want instant credit. We want instant gratification. We want things instantly, right when we want it, right when we expect it. We want it to happen. But sometimes God says, hey, you need to slow down. You need to wait just a moment and understand that Hebrews 10:36 makes it clear that each and every one of us need a little more patience and need to understand what God is teaching us and God is showing us. One of my favorite people to study is an individual by the name of Spurgeon. Many of you heard me reference him. One of his quotes regarding patience or long-suffering is simply this. It says, Bible promises are like checks drawn on heaven's bank that we endorse by faith and then present to God for payment. Listen to that one more time. Bible promises are like checks drawn on heaven's bank that we endorse by faith and then present to God for payment. But I want you to know the only problem with that quote is sometimes the checks are post-dated. Sometimes the checks are post-dated and it takes a little longer to receive that answer, to receive the answer of that prayer so that God is faithful. But the timing of the answer from the Lord allows us to know that we need to possess patience. That we need to possess patience from Jesus Christ. Before we get into the meat of the message this morning, let me tell you why God does have reasons in which he may delay your answers. Let me give you a few reasons of why does God delay his answers. Why does God delay his answers? You ever prayed for God to heal somebody who was sick? God, if it be your will, I'm asking that you heal this person. They're in the hospital. They're not doing well. God, we're asking that your divine touch is upon them, and we're praying that this will happen or that will happen, and maybe that person passes away, and you throw your hands up and you ask God why. Or maybe that one who maybe had done wrong, and God heals them and God saves them for whatever reason, and you say, how in the world, God, can you let that person who's done this be able to experience life? But my loved one loved you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you called him home. Let me give you a couple of reasons of why God may be delaying the answers to your prayers this morning. Number one is simply the developmental factor. To be quite honest, there's a lot of immature people in the church. There are people who don't understand what it means to remain faithful, what it means to remain true to what God is calling them to do, that they have not developed into a mature Christian to know the direction that God is calling them to go, the direction that God is leading them. And so they don't understand what it means to be developed by God in the way that they live and the way that they act, and the fruits they bear allows us to understand what James chapter 1 verse 3 and 4 says, which is, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word perfect in James chapter 1, 3, and 4 means simply mature, and God may not be giving you an answer yet because you do not know what it means to be spiritually mature. Not only do we see the developmental factor, we see the diligence factor. A difference in a growing Christian, a maturing Christian, is those that diligently seek the Lord, that diligently ask God to reveal himself, that diligently prays for the pastor and the deacons and the leaders of the church, that God may be honored and God may be glorified, that our prayers are bathed in faith and holding on to the promises of God, that we're going to be diligent during this time, regardless if you think they're going the right direction, regardless if you think they're doing things the right way. What matters is we are in the will of God, and God is being high and lifted up. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God desires for us to seek him, and to seek him with our entire heart. God desires for us to seek him with everything that we have. But today, for many of us, our prayers are easily offered and soon forgotten. And no wonder we do not inherit the promise of God. Oftentimes we ask God to heal our land, to heal our individuals, to heal you as an individual or me as an individual, whatever it may be. But we offer these prayers so easily that we're asking God to do something mighty, but that we forget how strong and how faithful that our God is. That our God is not wavered by anything that we see. And we can inherit the promise by knowing that our God is true to who He is. Finally, why does God delay His answer? The developmental factor, the diligence factor, and finally, the devotional factor. People just aren't devoted to the Lord. Individuals are not devoted to what God is calling them to do. They're not devoted to the direction that God is calling them to go. And so many times we lack the devotion in which God calls because we are seeking the blessing of Jesus rather than focusing on the blesser. We are wanting the blessing rather than focusing on the one who is the ultimate blesser. So I want you to know this morning that if you're praying for something and you're asking God to do something big in your life, that you might be in the middle of one of those three reasons that you haven't developed yet for God to give you the answer, that you're not diligently seeking God in the direction that God wants you to go, or that you are not devoted to the calling that God has on your life. But this morning, I would like for us to look at the scripture to understand patience and what is needed to hold on to the promises of God. Number one, there is something to remember yesterday's provision. There is something to remember yesterday's provision. If you have your Bible, look with me in our text again this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst you were made a gazing block, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you become companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. What does Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 34 say to me to you? It's simply this: the audience of the book of Hebrews is ready to throw in the towel because of things they were facing. They were ready to give up because those around them were saying things about them. They were in the middle of affliction. They were in the middle of tough times. They were in the middle of being ridiculed for Jesus Christ. But here we see Paul in the book of Hebrews, I believe, wrote that. He's saying, I want you to keep the faith. I want you to stand firm. I want you to stand strong. And you may be sitting here this morning, and you may be like me at times, where you want to throw in the towel, guys. And I want you to know that God's promises and provisions are a lot stronger than the things that people throw at you. And just as the book of Hebrews is saying here, that this sermon that was written for me 2.5 weeks ago, that I can tell you is written to me this morning, I want you to know that you do not have to throw in the towel. You do not have to worry about the trials and the tribulations that you're facing through. But you need to understand that the God who walked you through the difficult times yesterday is the same God who's going to walk you through the difficult times today and tomorrow and the weeks and the months to come, regardless of what those around you may say. The Bible says to respond joyfully. Respond joyfully. The spoiling of your goods, they took everything from you. They're attacking everything about you. But one thing that I've learned in the ministry is you are responsible in the way that you respond no matter what people say about you. That you are responsible. The image that we see here in Hebrews chapter 10 is the Roman soldiers had been in their house and taken everything away from them. They had ripped everything from them. They have taken all of their goods. They are attacking their family. They are attacking each and every individual there. And we see the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, I want you to remember the provisions of God. I want you to know that God is faithful. God is faithful, church. Do you believe it? Do you believe that our God is faithful? But we must understand that we are not to get too strong of a grip of things that we hold today because it can be removed from you. And let's be honest for just a moment. What do you have this morning? What do you possess this morning? As a Christian, you have nothing apart from Jesus. As a non-believer, you have nothing apart from Jesus. But there is not anything that you need once you realize that you have everything in Jesus Christ. Not anything that you need once you realize that you have everything in Jesus Christ. Patience is realizing that Jesus Christ grants you what you need through His provisions. Patience is knowing that when you do not understand why, or you cannot make sense of the reasoning behind it, we must remember that our God has brought us through, and our God will continue to allow us to hold on to His promises. The God that was faithful in your most difficult time of your life is the same God who's faithful today. The same God who walked you through the hardest time of your life is the same God who wants to walk you through these times today. That's the God that we serve. Look with me in Hebrews 10:32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Remember the days. God, has God brought you through anything in your life that when you look back you realize that it's only by God? Has God brought you through anything that when you look back you realize it's only by God? Throughout the Bible we are told to remember. Look with me in Psalm 77, beginning in verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Or what about 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 24? We call this the Lord's Supper. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, remember me." Every person in this room, are watching online in your living room, who has walked with Jesus for any length of time, knows that his provisions are true. Anyone who's walked with him for any length of time knows that his provisions are true. And I want you to know this morning that I, as your pastor, will not throw in the towel based on the promises of God, and I'm asking you to do the same thing. Number two, you have to resolve today's patience. Resolve today's patience. Beginning in verse 35 of Hebrews 10. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." A couple of phrases that I want to bring to your attention real quickly. Verse 35, recompense of reward. This literally means that God reveals faith. That God is the one who's going to reveal your faith. That you, in that possessing faith in Jesus Christ, is going to allow it to be revealed because of who God is. Verse 36, there's a phrase that said, "You have need of patience." Today you need patience. Do not throw away your confidence, because you're going to need patience tomorrow too. In the world in which we live today, what a tragedy to throw away your most valuable treasure, which is your confidence when you're in trouble. Patience in this text, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 37, literally means endurance. And the definition of endurance is simply the ability to bear under the trials and difficulties. Listen to that for just a moment. Patience in this text literally means endurance. It's the idea of an athlete. You ever play sports, you understand. One of the worst things I did in basketball was running suicides. If you've ever done that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I hated it then, I hate it today. But you had to endure, right? The coach was trying to make you an athlete. If you've ever done that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the idea of endurance there is the ability to bear under trials and difficulties, which leads to this next statement, and I want you to pay attention to this. Many fail because we fail to endure. Many fail. Many fail because we fail to endure. I'm saying that three times because I'm saying it to myself. Don't think I'm just telling you. We have to endure, church. Difficult times in the world we live in today, we have to endure. People attacking from all directions, we have to endure. We must be willing to endure, listen, the tough times to receive the blessings from the blesser. What is patience? Patience is more than waiting. Patience is more than passive resignation. It is more than suffering silently. Patience literally means in this text to abide under. It is patience that is the bridge between doing the will of God and receiving the promises of God. Patience is the bridge between doing the will of God and receiving the promises of God. You ever wonder why you're not receiving the promises or the answers to your prayers or whatever it may be? It may be because you're not patient for God to grant you the answer. It may be that you're not willing to go through the difficult times, that after you have done the will of God, you then accept the promises of God. But many of us are good at reciting the promises of God without obeying the commandments of God. Many of us are good at reciting the promises of God without obeying the commandments of God. Look at verse 36 of Hebrews 10. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We must remember to endure. We are to possess long-suffering. We are to possess patience. We are to show patience. We are to accept the timing of God. Psalm 37, verse 1. You see that first line? I want you to read that first line. If you don't have your Bible, I want you to look at the screen. Fret not thyself because of evil doers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But what are we to do, church? Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Let's read that one more time. I need it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Hey, don't get your work self worked up because of evildoers. Don't let it steal your joy because of evildoers. Don't let it remove your love that turns to bitterness because of evildoers. But when you face the evildoers, church, verse 3 simply says you got to trust in the Lord and do good. You're responsible in how you respond. To trust in the Lord is to simply do good. And if you are not doing good, you are not trusting in the Lord. If your trouble and your trials, if what you're going through today causes you to drop out of the calling that God has on your life, you're in dire need of patience from the Savior of the world. If what you're facing today, whatever that may be, is giving you an inclination or a desire to drop out, you need this patience. And if you are wanting to drop out, if you are wanting to quit, you are not trusting in the God of the universe. If you drop out, you've thrown away your confidence. And what is your confidence in? You have to remember the provisions of yesterday and being confident in knowing that God will lead you and guide you. The last thing I want you to think about this morning is found in Hebrews 10:37, which is simply rest in tomorrow's promise. Rest in tomorrow's promise. The number one promise that I hold on to in this life is when I breathe no more, I'm going to be in the presence of the Savior of the world. And I'm personally okay if that happens this afternoon, if that happens tomorrow, if that happens 20 years down the road. I'm okay when the time comes that my ticket is punched, that I'm going to cross over glory and I'm going to meet a man named Jesus Christ who I put my faith and trust in. And church, I want you to know this morning that it's not just about possessing patience and long-suffering. You have to understand the promises of God, which verse 37 says this, for yet a little while he that shall come and will not tarry. For yet a little while he that shall come and will not tarry. You know what this verse is saying? Simply put in the Bobby International Version is this, hold on, dear friend, God's faithful. Hold on, dear friend, God is faithful. This particular scripture is a question from the Old Testament from the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says this, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." Habakkuk was asking a question. I preached through Habakkuk 1, 2, and 3 about a month and a half ago. He's asking the question, "God, where are you? Why were the wicked individuals getting away with everything? Are you remotely close? Do you even care?" It's kind of like your prayers or my prayers today with the situation our world's in. Probably you're asking, "God, are you there? God, are you faithful? God, are you paying attention to what's happening?" Verse 3 said, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." We must know that we cannot hurry the word of God. Verse 3 in Habakkuk chapter 2 also says, "Though it tarry." And what does this mean? What does it mean? What is Habakkuk trying to say in chapter 2, verse 3? Habakkuk was perplexed and could not understand. Habakkuk as an individual was perplexed and could not understand. And you're probably in the same exact boat this morning looking at the world in which we're in today. But he learned what he could not understand, he could simply stand under. You look at the world today and you ask, "God, how in the world is this happening?" Have you done this? Anybody besides me? "God, how in the world is this taking place?" I'm going to give you my educated answer. It's not very much educated. It's simply because us as Christians have kept our mouth shut for so long. We've been content with sitting in the church on Sunday morning only and not willing to go to battle. We'd rather battle each other rather than battle those who are going against us, right? Let's be honest, church, for just a moment. And we look into the world we are today in 2021 and we say, "How in the world did this happen?" Guys, I believe it's because of you and me being content. We can know, though, through the promises of yesterday and today, that God's promises are still good. He simply put, in Habakkuk's words, "Just wait. The vision is not over." But we must know that our God does not owe us explanations, but he desires to give us promises, and God knows when the right time is. Remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples and stated that if he told them what was going on, they would not understand? That those guys who walked alongside the Savior of the world was asking what was happening, and they began to ask the Savior, and Jesus, in his sovereignty, in his all-knowing and all-powerful mind, says, "Guys, if I told you, you wouldn't know." And that's exactly where we are in our world today. God, why is this happening? Our mind can't fathom what's taking place because God's God for a reason, but we must hold on to the promises found in the Scripture and not the stupid conspiracy theories that you're sharing every day on social media. Listen to that. Take the conspiracy theories and go somewhere with them and focus on God's Word, guys. We win. We win. We win. In closing, as you look at Habakkuk, he changed his question from "why" until he had the answer of "who." And guys, we need to do the same thing. It's not about why. Why, God? You know the old gospel song, "Why Me, Lord"? Anybody know that song? The Gaithers are the best at singing that song personally, in my personal opinion there. But the question is asked, "Why me, Lord?" If you ever ask yourself that question, I want you to just look at bloody Calvary and dreaded Gethsemane in the empty tomb, and the answer of why is because Jesus loved you that much. Jesus loved you that much. Jesus loved me that much. But I want you to know that today many of us would probably agree that we do not know what's going to happen in the world today, but we know what the Bible says, or should know what the Bible says. And Habakkuk felt the same way. But notice what he said at the end of his book in Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my string instruments." But I want to bring your attention to verse 17 for just a moment. Verse 17, who Habakkuk was writing to, the audience in which he was preaching to, were farmers and shepherds. And in our terms, Habakkuk was letting them know, "Hey, well, I want you to know that the economy is going to fail, but you got to trust in the Lord and rejoice in your salvation. You got to trust in the Lord and know that our God is faithful." And church, I want you to know that no matter what happens in our world today, we must remember God's timing is far more important than our time. We must remember yesterday's provisions, resolve today's patience, and rest in tomorrow's promise. And in closing, I want you to answer the questions. First, have you accepted the promises of God? Have you accepted the promise of salvation that's found in and through Jesus Christ? That's the number one promise that you need to hold on to, church, this morning. That you know Jesus Christ has radically saved you. Because we know that there are going to be naysayers. There are going to be individuals who don't like what you're doing, the way that you dress, the things that you do, the places that you go, and the direction that you're moving, and all those things, and that's okay. But here's what I want you to understand. There were individuals like that in Jesus' day, and they attacked the Savior of the world. You can rest assured they're going to attack you when you're doing right. You can rest assured that they're going to attack you. People are going to attack you when you're standing firm on the promises of God. The promises of salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ in that regard? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt who is in control, who is on the throne, and who paved the way that you may have everlasting life? If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises of your scripture. God, we thank you for the ultimate promise of salvation. God, that you say if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you died and rose again, that you will save us. God, I believe that. I believe that each individual in this room, whether they are here physically or watching online, God, I pray that they have a relationship with you. God, I pray that even during these difficult times, the trials that we're facing in our life, God, I pray that we'll rest on your promises. God, we know that you're a good, good Father. God, that you're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of the end. And God, that you'll be high and lifted up. God, I'm asking first, as a man saved by your blood, that you'll give me the patience that I need to endure the difficult times. God, that you'll give me the boldness to stand on your word, that you'll be high and lifted up. God, that the way that I respond will point people to the saving knowledge of you. And God, may we have a spirit of love, have the spirit of discernment, and know that you're faithful, and know that you're good, and know that your name should be high and lifted up. God, I pray these things and I believe it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.